wrote Alfred Lord Tennyson, smiles from the threshold of the year to come, whispering, it will be happier. There's the message we all want to believe in right now, that a better day lies just around the corner, and hope draws us toward it. But it may be a message we need to tune our ears and sharpen our eyesight in order to hear and to see. Today's words from Isaiah are words we often hear in the season of Advent, the season that anticipates the birth of Jesus. Scholars believe the book we know as Isaiah is actually a compilation of prophetic writings from three different periods in Israel's history. Chapter 40, which we heard Jan read just a minute ago, marks a turning point in thought and in sentiment. The preceding chapters have dealt with Israel's sin and sorrow as the nation fell to Babylon's conquering army and the enduring hardship of exile. Beginning here in chapter 40, it's clear that the decades of servitude have passed, the exile has ended, and the remnant of Israel is returning to their homeland in joy and in anticipation. The prophet echoes God's own voice, the voice of hope spoken in their dark season. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God, in the wilderness. Prepare a way. In the wilderness. No doubt, generations of faithful who heard those words recalled not only the exile and the return from Babylon, but the exodus out of Egypt. The years spent between the known quantity of captivity and the anticipated joy of the promised land. The years when hope was vital to their survival because their present was filled with unknowns. The wilderness represents both an unknown quantity and a dangerous location. It's the in-between space where anything can happen. It holds real physical threats, those of hunger and thirst, wild animals, thieves, and marauders. When we are wandering in the wilderness is when we most need to hear or catch a glimpse of hope. Our world is in a wilderness season right now, as we approach a time of year when many people consider cheerful and bright, darkness is dampening our spirits. Typically, this festive season is marked by celebrations with family and friends, and this year, with illness on the rise, we're being told to forego the festivities, to settle into our solitudes. The forecast looks more bleak and barren than spirited and spiritual, and so we need, even more than ever before, to believe in hope. But the desert is not as empty, and the time is not as wasted as one might suppose. In fact, it was during Israel's time in the desert that God appeared to them as a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. God's presence filled their tabernacle every time they made camp. God gave wisdom and guidance to them through the Ten Commandments. And in Israel's time in Babylon, that jogged the nation from their complacency and activated its collective memory. And then, after the exile and the return, more than 500 years passed between the days of the last Old Testament prophet Malachi and the time when John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, pointing to Jesus as the Messiah. That is a long time to listen for a whisper of hope, to wait for a light to shine. But shine it did. God has always been at work in the midst of God's people. God had been at work among the Israelites after Egypt. God had been working among them in their time in Babylon and in their return. God had been setting things in motion for the births of both John the Baptist and Jesus. And so too is God at work now, in ways we may not see until we are on the other side of this pandemic. But make no mistake, God is present in these shadowy times, and God is ever at work. The documentary Defiant Requiem tells the story of two performances of Verdi's Requiem in the Czech town of Terezin, separated by more than 60 years. At one time, Terezin had housed a military base. In 1941, however, the base at Terezin was used by the Nazis as a holding camp for Czechoslovakian Jews. The Jewish residents of Terezin had been allowed to bring only a precious few of their worldly goods with them. 55 pounds was their limit when traveling. When he was ordered to move, Czech pianist and conductor Raphael Schechter chose to take music with him. Piano and conducting scores made the bulk of his 55-pound limit. Schechter, it turned out, was one of a number of artists and musicians who ended up at Terezin. And despite being detainees of the Nazi army, they built community in ways that were both familiar and comforting. And so the film points out that in the 40s, throughout German-occupied lands, while Jews were forbidden to gather, to play musical instruments, or to venture out at night, inside the walls of Terezin, the inmates found a strange artistic freedom. Musicians and singers rehearsed and staged concerts. Scientists, psychologists, and religious scholars gave lectures. And new music and paintings and plays were being created. And Raphael Schechter gathered up musicians and voices and painstakingly helped each one learn their part by rote from the single score he had carried with him. There were 15 performances of the Requiem during his years at Terezin. The documentary includes interviews with some who had sung or been audience members for those Schechter concerts. They describe the hope that they found, the transcendence they experienced. Vera Schiff recalls the performances. She says, "These 2 hours take you back into the beautiful world that was once your own. These were hours of pure joy, as much as you can call joy in camp. This room became the protective walls of something good, something meaningful, something healing, something that showed everyone who was listening that Rafi had put all of us, the singers and the audience, into another world. This was not the world of the Nazis. This was our world." The documentary locates Schechter's story within the story of a 2010 production of that same Verdi Requiem in that same Czech town in the former Nazi camp. Conductor Murray Sidlin, who produced the documentary, says he wanted to give that performance as a gift to all who had lived and died in Terezin, to attest that their stories had been heard, their lives and their defiant acts of art and music and beauty had inspired. "Here they were," he says, "surrounded on an hourly basis by man's worst, and these Jewish prisoners and the creative people here were determined to remind everyone of man's best." In subtle and not so subtle ways, one role of the prophetic voice is to bring the good news, to embrace faith, and to proclaim hope, and to say, "Look here, here in the hope, here in the light, and in the music, here in the wilderness, here is your God." That is our Advent task this year, friends, to erect the protective walls of something good and something meaningful and something healing, something that lifts us out of this world, if only for an hour. Something that defiantly proclaims in the midst of a barren wilderness that here is light and here is music and here is hope. I had chosen this worship series quite a few weeks back. And just a week or so ago, I noticed on the Celebrate Cooperstown Facebook page someone encouraging the community to put lights in our windows as a symbol of unity and of hope. And I had already ordered those luminary supplies I mentioned at the beginning of service when that message appeared. God is at work even in the small things, uniting us as a community and uniting us around a message of light and of hope. So I hope you can hear it. I hope you can hear the voice of God saying, "Comfort, comfort my people." I hope you can sense it, the spirit that is sailing through our midst even now. I hope you can see the approach of God's kingdom, because this is the good news. So proclaim it from the high mountains, as Isaiah did. Point to it, embrace it, believe it, as John did. Hope stands at the threshold, smiling and whispering to us all, "Oh, come, Emmanuel." Amen.